Before you know it, they'll have all your goods. They'll still have your children mind wrapped up. Amen. Amen. Look, let me tell you one sure way to tell if they false. If they ask you for an offering before they give you a word, preach. And let me tell you, that didn't come from me. That the early church, there's a writing called the Dadahi that gives you, it's a handbook for early Christians. And guess what it says in there? If a prophet comes to town, he stays more than 3 days, and then he asks you for an offering before he gives you a word, or even after he gives you a word, he said, then that person is false. Now, if we really went by the handbook of the early church, how many of these churches, how many of these preachers we would really consider real? Not a whole lot. Because I know that's when the God speak when the offering time. God said there's three people in here that got $1,000. And then when they stand up, the Lord has spoke to me, you got a business, don't you? Now you know you just told that man he had a business. Let me leave that alone. Let me get back to the word here. You found them to be lies, but the thing about it is that God recognizes the good you do. God recognizes the stuff that you keep right in your life. The way that you serve him, he recognizes that. If we're lazy, then he knows we're lazy. But then he recognized the church at Ephesus, and he says, look, I know you're not a lazy church. You've been doing the right things. You've been working hard. But then, guess what? Not only does he recognize them, but he rebukes them. Amen? Well, let me go to verse 3 before I get down to that. Verse 3 says, in the recognition, he says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not what? Fainted. He says, you borne the burden. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, you borne, and he says, and have patience. You've waited. You've endured some things. And he says, and for my name's sake has labored. Just because of the name of Jesus, I'm laboring. I'm laboring in his name. I'm preaching in his name. I'm helping in his name. Not because I'm getting something out of it, but because the name is important to me.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you for another opportunity to hear your word. and to heed your word. Reveal the principles that we may practice for profit, giving you all the praise and the glory for you showing yourself big in our lives, for you being the only wise and true God who can do anything but fail. We thank you now. Open up our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say. Open up our spiritual eyes that we might see what you're bringing us through. Open up our spiritual hearts that we might feel and become closer to thee. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Can somebody just give the Lord a shout of praise today? Glory. Bless him. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Recorded are these words. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, God is stretching you for success. God is stretching you for success. Peter is well qualified and able to share with us this word today because Peter, one whom the Lord saw as a small stone, as a little rock, who knew the greatness that would be done in a yielded life, is able to speak both divinely and experientially about this issue of stretching you. There are times that we go through things that we don't always understand. There are times we go through things that just don't make no sense. There are times we go through things that hurt us and seem to hinder us, but the truth of the matter is, in the bigger picture, they're helping us. And you've got to understand the divine word, will, and way of God to know that God always does what's in your best interest. Peter shares this word with us, and verse 8, he talks about being sober and being vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And then he goes on in verse 9 to tell us whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what Peter was really saying was, listen, don't get caught off guard. Be watchful, be mindful, understand that the devil is on his job. But the devil, listen, can't do any more than God allows him to. And if you are mindful of this reality, you won't freak out when trouble comes. You won't lose your mind and you won't give up control because the enemy seems to be causing havoc in your life. You will understand that the end result is that God is stretching you for your success. I know it doesn't feel good. I've been, by my therapist, being stretched. muscles not being used, tighten up on you and don't give free flow and flexibility. So they have to stretch you before a workout. And sometimes the stretching is more painful than the work. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And so sometimes I like to say, listen, let's skip the stretching and go on into the workout. And then they tell me, no, you can hurt yourself worse in the workout if you don't stretch yourself. And so God helps us to understand in this word through Peter's experience and through the word he's given to Peter that stretching is good for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stretching is good for you. It may not feel good, but it's good for you. Yeah, just stretch yourself. You'll see. Look at what he says. And after he tells the believers, the church of God, the ecclesia, about the issues that they're dealing with because Satan is after them and Satan is causing them to go through things. He says, don't think you're going through it alone. You've got brothers and sisters all over the world who's going through some of the same stuff you're going through. And you think you can't make it? Let me give you some help. There are others who've been through worse than you who have come through. And you've got to know you too will come through if you understand this stretching process. Then verse 10 says, he says, but the God, after he gets through with the troubles and the problems and the enemy and all that's going on, he says, but the God of all grace. That's abundant grace. That's amazing grace. He said that's all grace. And when you look at grace and understand grace, it literally means every favor and benefit of the Lord. All grace. Grace comes in many forms. But here's what you need to know. All of it comes from God. Somebody say all grace. Whatever you need today, if God grants it to you, it's grace. He gives you favor that is unmerited, benefits that are unmerited. You don't get grace because you deserve it. It's not even warranted. It's not even worthy. You're not worthy of it. It's not something that you deserve or earn. It's because God is gracious. And because he's gracious, he extends grace to you. If you've ever known a gracious person, the words that come out of their mouth are gracious. Their mannerisms are gracious. The way they handle you, gracious. The way they do things, gracious. And God is a gracious God. And that's why we benefit from his grace. The favor is what we like to think about, because when we think about the favor of God, and it's been so properly said that favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. No, neither is grace. Neither are the benefits of God. How many times have you honestly gotten stuff you didn't deserve? Been blessed with doors that were opened up for you that should have been opened up for somebody else? Come on, talk to me. How many times you got a seat you wasn't supposed to sit in? How many times when you were common and got VIP treatment? How many times you paid for coach and got first class? Free. Now some of you are like, not me, Reverend. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about in life. So many times through the favor and grace of God who benefits us and each day loads us up with his benefits. Grace, the God of all grace. Now look at what he says, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He and Jesus are collectively working together here to bring you to that place of wholeness, eternal salvation that he desired, that no man would be lost. And Jesus Christ picked up on that desire, came and sacrificed himself, gave himself for whosoever will to come into a right relationship with God the Father. It is this relationship that God the Father share that blesses us to be able to be partakers. And so because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, God gives to us his best. He has called us unto his eternal glory. Not temporary. Not here today, gone tomorrow. But eternal, everlasting glory. And my brothers and sisters, that's shouting news right there. That shout. We don't always shout on the right thing. We shout for the wrong reason sometimes. But can I tell you, just like when the disciples came back to Jesus and they were excited about casting out demons and about demons trembling in Jesus' name, they got all excited because they were used. Jesus said, yeah, that's all fine and good. He said, but you know what you really ought to be excited about? You ought to really be excited about your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you ought to really be excited about. Because listen, you didn't do nothing about that. God did it. You are what you are by the grace of God. And so that's what you ought to lock hold on and look at and thank God for. So he's called us unto his eternal glory by, through. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus says. There is no relationship with God except through the entrance of Jesus Christ. He's got to introduce you to the Father for the Father to even have a word with you. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He's not taking your call. He won't answer your call. He won't open the door until Jesus does it for you. By Christ Jesus. Now notice here, because it transitions in this verse to our focus of stretching. After that ye have suffered a while. Now wait a minute. I'm saved and I have eternal glory with God through Christ Jesus. And you mean I've got to suffer? Wait a minute. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I am a child of the King, but you tell me I've got to suffer? Peter learned this. The closer you are to God, the more you're going to suffer. See, if folk talk about, I want a closer walk with thee. Yeah, the closer you walk to Jesus, the more you begin to look like Jesus. The more you begin to look like Jesus, the more the enemy attacks you. Listen, but his grace protects you. Every attack the enemy brings against you, God's grace protects you. The more you go through, the more he gives you grace. The more difficult your trials and tribulations are, the more grace he releases in your life. In other words, every time the devil turns up the heat, he turns on the air. He'll let you be in a fiery furnace that's air conditioned. Y'all not hearing me here today. Just know his grace is sufficient. All of us want to go to, but we don't want to go through. No, he's saying in order to go to, you're going to have to go through. And if you like David, you can say, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Grace. Grace. And so I now reset my thinking to understand that the closer I get to God, the more challenges I'm going to have, but the more grace will be given to me. Listen at this now. After that ye have suffered a while. And that word suffered means to be vexed. But I looked at it a little deeper. And it means to be vexed till you affected. I didn't say infected. I said affected. In other words, you've got to suffer enough till you feel it. That's why they say suffer a while. Because you might go through something and you're going through it and you think you're strong and your resistance is up and your immune system is healthy and you ain't got to go through. Now, I don't feel this. Well, keep on, because you got to keep going through it till you feel it. Now, what was interesting is that suffered for a while after ye have suffered a while. A while is so that you might be affected to the point where you're pliable. Bendable. That God can do something with you without breaking you. See, there are some things that would break unless you put it under the heat. And the heat softens it. And when it softens it, it allows it to be stretched. And y'all not talking to me like you know what I'm talking about. And so God allows you to go through some stuff that brings some heat that softens you up so that it affects you, so that it loosens you up, so that he can stretch you out. But all of this is for your greater good. If he stretched you like you are, you'd break. Break. It's like a fresh cracker. Yeah. You break right under the pressure. But listen to what the word says. After I have been affected and vexed, what it does is prepares me for change. See, God has got to let you suffer enough where you say, Lord, anything is better than this. See, some of us are in some stuff that ain't got bad enough yet. It's going to get bad and worse than it is until you say enough. Yeah, is enough. Until you say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, do what you want. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give up. Lord, I give myself to you. After ye have suffered a while. How long is a while? This is what I love the answer come back. A measure in time. So here's what you need to know. Your measure may be different from my measure. But the measure is always in connection with the effect. How long does it take for you to have an effect? So that means if you hardcore and you think you all of that and you can't be bent or broken, God said you're going to be in there a while. Yes, indeed. Until you start saying, I've been in the storm too long. Lord, too long. See, now he ready to come on out now. Because he was acting like he was having a vacation on the, you know, stormy seashores. No, not until you've been affected and vexed to the point and place where you are ready to submit and surrender your will to God's will. And after you have come through that, that's just the preparatory stages. That's just getting you ready. Do you realize trials and tribulations and heartaches and pains and all of those things are just getting ready for God to use you? They're just making you ready for God to handle you. They aren't the things that God is doing with you. They're just the things that's preparing you to be dealt with. After that ye have suffered a while. See, like the psalmist said, after you've been through some stuff, then your worship becomes real. Whole lot of you playing church right now. But wait till you've suffered a little bit. Wait till you've gone through some stormy days and nights. Wait till you cry till you can't cry no more. Wait until your heart beats like it's beating out your body and it's hurting with pain. Wait until you've gone through some stuff, and then you'll be able to worship him in a real sense because you know what he's brought you through. Stretching you for success. Here's where God starts. That he makes you, you don't do this to yourself, perfect. Another word for the word perfect, you can put right here, is special. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm special. I know as you look at him, you might be saying, I'm glad you acknowledge that. No, I'm talking about a godly special. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Perfect. Make you perfect. But another translation and understanding of the word perfect is this: make you fit. Fit. When I looked that up and I saw the word fit, he's causing me to go through, allowing me to go through all of this suffering until I am affected where I am pliable and soft enough to be stretched to make me fit. See what God has for you right now, you can't fit in. So he has to make you perfect, and he has to make you fit for your place, for your position, for your promise. God has to make you special. And so what I love about the Lord is through my sufferings that affect me, that vex me to the point where I'm willing to let my will go for God's will, then he starts stretching me. Because right now, I ain't big enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not in the place or position to handle what he has for me. So he has to stretch me up, down, and around to make me fit perfectly in the place that he has promised and provided. Do you wonder why God has promised you some things and has not given it to you yet? It's because you're not ready to fit in. You've not yet been perfected to that point where you are complete, to the point where God can release to you what he's promised you. And listen to this. This is what I love about the Lord. He's not going to do it till you're perfected. So he will make you fit. And that means God does whatever he has to do or allows whatever he has to allow to shape you and make you into what he wants you to be, just like the potter did in Jeremiah's account. God told Jeremiah, listen, I want you to go down to the potter's house and there I will speak to you. Jeremiah was like, well, what's the problem, Lord? Why you can't speak right here? But nevertheless, he went on to the potter's house. There he sat against the wall, watched the potter work. Potter reached over from a pile of clay and threw it